Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Finding Fertility. I'm your host, Monica Cox from FindingFertility.co, and I created this podcast to help get you to start thinking outside of the box and realize that your infertility might have nothing to do with your lady bits. Rooted in functional medicine and personal experience, Finding Fertility is all about looking at the whole body and finding the root cause of your infertility. Finding Fertility does not diagnose, prescribe, or treat any issues of infertility. But what we do is take a holistic approach and improve your diet and your lifestyle to get you steps closer to creating your dream family. Just by being here with me, listening to this podcast, you're already going down the right path to making your dreams come true. Let's do this together.
Right? Because we know that when you eat well and you give your, you feed your body, your cellular health gets better. What people who are in that naturopathic health space don't always realize is that it's not just from a cellular health biology perspective that that's important. It's also important because it raises your frequency. Mm-hmm. It makes you more quantum by doing that.
So when we're talking about raising our vibration and we're talking about the cellular health, right? We have like these like nucleus and this like thing around it. Like, I'm not scientific. I'm not going to try to hear and like explain it. But most of it is like nothing, like nothingness. Right? Like most of our body,
is empty space.
So when you have clear cellular health and you're like, you're able to let that light shine through. You're able to be in like a vibe, like clearing, right? So if you think of it as like inflammation is like blocking your shit, you're always, and that could be mental, emotional, physical, spiritual blocks that are just not letting the light or the sound radiate. And so the sound creates the vibration, or the, you know, the brighter the light, the more like amazingness there is, right? So if people can, that's how my brain works it, because you know, for years you hear raise your vibration. You're like, fucking fuck your vibration. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I look at it in my life, connecting the physical to the spiritual, is that when you're cleaning up, when you have healthier flow and all that, you're able to then have a healthy vibration and hold space better too, right? Especially when you're working on that mental and emotional side. I know for me, the triggers were my second son spit of me would trigger the shit out of me, right? And it was because I was feeling all the repressed emotions that I had still stuck inside of me. But I was able to understand that and use modalities to release that. And so when you do that, you can hold more space, more compassion, more grace. You can become the observer and not react to the situations. Because the situations are always going to happen. Your kid is always going to cry because he got the blue popsicle and he wanted the red, right? Like, that shit is never going to stop, no matter how high your vibration is, right? Death is going to happen. Miscarriages are going to happen. Failed IVFs, you know, like your uncle's, you know, wife is going to be a bitch still, you know, like all that stuff is going to happen. But when you're clearing up your stuff, and okay, so higher vibrating beings are able to come to you. And in regards to why that's important, in my point of view, and not necessarily higher vibration beings or anything, but when you, if you look at your own life and you see how hard it's been to deal with all the shit. Times that by 200 when you have a child who's healthy and happy. Times that by 1,000 when you have a child with mental and emotional issues, food allergies. I have a friend whose kid has a peanut allergy and she says, my life will never be the same. I will always worry that he, especially when he gets older, right? Doesn't have his EpiPen with him. Didn't realize there was peanuts next to the drink he just, you know, right? All those things make it so much harder to get to that inner peace, to that vibe, because you are constantly having to deal with really difficult stuff.
Yes.
So my question is to you, which there's obviously souls that want to connect with that life, to learn that lesson, because it can be a beautiful lesson between families, right? I have a cousin with Down syndrome, with another one with cerebral palsy, you know, and they have brought immense beauty and knowledge into our family's life, because we have to look at life in a different perspective. I think those things are part of nature. But I also think we've been fucking with nature so much that that kind of beauty is now getting distorted. If that does that make sense? Like, there's so much more physical, mental, emotional issues in our children than there ever has been in our past.
So is your question then, like, how do we reconcile the fact that we, looking at children today and, like, you know, Gen Alpha, and looking at like how much they're having to deal with, is like, how are we reconciling the fact that there are higher, supposedly higher level beings that are then needing to, like, come into our little bodies that aren't vibrating as high? Is that the question?
Yeah. I mean, the question is that, from my point of view, or how I choose to look at it, is that there's always going to be different kind of levels, but do high vibrating beings that have, like, you know, 10 quadruple bazillion million years of knowledge go, yeah, I want to choose that experience again. I want to choose to see how it feels, see what those emotions are like, vibe with that parent, vibe with the, you know, now, I mean, God, we have, like, the egg donor, the sperm donor, the embryo donor, the adoption, you know, it's so much more. So in my head, I'm like, all right, what are new beings, like, doing? Like, what are we learning now? And obviously there has to be a shift, because the reality is, if you keep going with the majority of the population getting sicker and stupider, I'm just going to say it, you're not going to have a functioning population. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's going to tip to a point where you have more people in care than carers.
Yeah. And as one of those carers, I couldn't completely understand. So I love the question. I wouldn't even call it a question. I would say it's more of like just a thought experiment. So this, you know, idea of, you know, where do we want to end up? Because look at where we are now. And what truly is our goal, and how much are we going to allow in our world? And, you know, your thought really should get people triggered around, you know, like, how our food is grown, and the people we have in our governments, and who's making the laws and things like that. From the standpoint of the, where your question was of, like, you know, what soul would choose to come into all of these kind of, like, crazy scenarios that can, like, come up, and how do they sort of, like, decide, or, you know, like you said, number one, there's always levels. So, you know, when I say that there is a wave of beings that have lived multitudinous lives and have already healed and are not coming into this life now necessarily to have to learn a bunch of things, but more to do a bunch of things. It is just a wave. It's not all of them. It's not everyone. not every soul has lived a multitudinous amount of incarnations. Some souls were lazy and didn't want to learn. And so they didn't incarnate, because the only way you can learn is to incarnate and to live a life and to learn things and to make mistakes, no matter whether you're choosing to be a rock, a human, a bird, or a star being out there, you know, or an alien, you know. You have to incarnate in order to actually learn and advance your soul. If you are going to stay up in the like liminal space, which there are quite a few fragments of souls that want to do that. Mm-hmm. They understand that living is hard, regardless about where you live or what you're doing. And because they have chosen to not incarnate, it means that they are that soul that doesn't necessarily need the, I'm a Zen master, I have like handled all my crap, I have done all the psyche, I have done all of the meditations. And they need that, you know, crack whore on the corner that hasn't healed to be their mom, right? Like this. So when we are thinking about this, this is where it can kind of be a meta mind fuck, because yeah, you're like, well, wait a second. Like if we're all becoming these advanced humans eating nothing but organic and only, you know, allowing, you know, the amazing moderate individual to lead our governments, which obviously isn't happening, you know, it would mean that this we wouldn't be even having this conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Because the mass majority of us wouldn't be struggling, right?
Yeah.
So it is just a wave. It's not, and so we can't put quantifiable numbers on this stuff, because it would be the same problem we would have about trying to quantify who in our current society, global society right now, do we want to consider woke individuals or sleeping individuals? Who are we going to quantify as the enlightened few versus the many sheep, mm-hmm. right? Who can put a number to that?
Yeah.
It would be the same thing to try to do that with the spirit babies, and who is the more advanced soul versus the quote unquote lazy soul. And there's really no such thing as a lazy soul. There's just, they're making choices just the same way we are. Right. So, there are levels, there is a spectrum. There is absolutely a reason for why we have all of these different modalities of how we can get pregnant and how a baby can come to us, because there is a whole variety of souls out there that need all of those options.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm a firm believer in, nothing happens by accident. You know, what's meant to be. What is meant for you will not miss you. It will not pass you. And it won't pass you because you're going to do what's necessary to get there, and they're going to do what's necessary to get there, right? It's not just whatever is for you is for you, but you can sit back and not and miss the bus, like, yeah. You know? So it's a whole amalgamation of things of why we've got some people who are still struggling, who are still not awake, who are still, you know, unhealthy, who are still eating McDonald's and still able to get pregnant. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because there is a soul out there that needs that.
Yeah.
But I would say there is a very conscious wave that is coming through that needs advanced bodies. Mm-hmm. And that is why people like you and I exist. It's why we've been on our journeys. It's why we teach the people we teach. Because we're not teaching for the spirit babies that need the, you know, unhealthy, unhealed individual. There's enough of those. There's not enough of us saying, you know what, are you willing to be the steward of a soul that is going to be smarter than you? That's going mm-hmm. to scare the crap out of you because they can see things that you can't see, because they can know things that you can't know, that are going to be the ones to change the system, mm-hmm. that are not going to be afraid of anarchy, that isn't going to be afraid of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
They need the parents who are going to say, you know what, don't mistreat your body. Wake up every morning and breathe. Wake up every morning and go for a walk. Wake up every morning and love life. Love yourself enough to care about what you put into your body, about what you expose yourself to on social media, mm-hmm. right? There's a wave of people who are, or souls that are going to come in, that are going to change this world. We're one of them,
mm-hmm.
right? The people who are listening to this podcast, they're those people. And they need this knowledge because the people they're going to birth into this world are just more of us. They're not more of the unenlightened.
Yeah. This goes back to one of the conversations we had on the Choices podcast about Mother Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she was an advanced mother soul conscious mama to even recognize that her son had to be shepherded a certain way to elevate his brilliance of being able to tap in to source, right? Like, exactly. Nana, right? So, and I do believe she had sex with Joseph. There.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, there is a whole other, like, if you go to Egypt, you can actually find where Mother Mary was trained and understand that the reason why she was considered like the Immaculate Conception, right? Like the clean, the unburdened of whatever, mm-hmm. right? Has more to do with her spiritual training than mm-hmm. it does about her just being a virgin.
Yeah.
And never having been touched by a man. And if you are a Catholic, and I am, you know, triggering the hell out of you, and you're thinking I'm blaspheming, go with God and continue to believe that her being untouched was the only qualification that it took to be the mother of Jesus. But I believe that it took so much more than that.
Yeah.
And there are people who believe the same and who have records of what it took, what she had to learn, how she had to elevate herself. The same goes for Mary Magdalene,
mm-hmm.
you know, how, what she also had to learn to be the, you know, the Jesus's wife,
mm-hmm.
right? There, it's not, those are not simple roles.
Yeah.
To be able to house that sort of energy, to be able to commingle with that sort of energy takes an advanced level. And this is why, when I love working with your clients, even though they might not think I'm actually working with them, because I get to witness, and this is like, it makes me emotional. I get to witness the people who are the descendants of that sort of mental lineage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who work with you, the people who work with me, who are wanting to birth in these spirit babies, they are doing so from a very conscious place, and they understand, maybe not all at one time, maybe not the second they choose to work with you, but at some point, I fully believe that they will come to the understanding that they had to go through what they went through. They had to come to you. They had to learn the tools. They had to put into practice these tools, because the children that they will raise will do more for this universe, not just this world, but this universe, than they ever could have imagined. Yeah. And once again, maybe not in this particular life, but they will take tools from what they have learned,
mm-hmm.
and they will continue it on the same way as they will.
Yeah. I mean, you can even put it in like very simple terms of what I'm seeing now as a parent of a kindergarten and a second grader. Like, not to sound like a dick, but like, your kids are just gonna fly through life. There's not gonna be the competition like there was in the 80s, in the, you know, in the 2000s. I'm sorry, there's just not. And on many different levels, not only the food, which I think is a huge thing, but obviously screens, but also the cognitive dissonance of the parents, of instilling in them that mental and emotional regulation. And we're living in a time where everyone wants their kids to be fucking famous, right? Especially athletes. So like you just see the pressure these kids are being put on, and most of them are going to crack, you know, because that's like, that's just what human nature is going to do to you. Go ahead.
That and parents trying to get in their kids' way. I think one of the things for me, being one of those souls that was like meant to come onto this planet to like do something very, very different than others expected of me, and having a mom that knew that I was going to be that and would tell people that, she still tells people that. One of the things that I constantly had to just think all the time and like about the adults in my life was, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Let me do, let me be. Because you getting in my way, you trying to tell me to watch out because when they were kids, this is the way that it was, you know, did nothing but slow me down. Do you, the thoughts that I have, that my generation has, that some of the younger generation have, like when I talk to kids who are my brother's age, and I have three younger brothers, but two of them are 10 years and 13 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to them and I listen about what they want to do, what they want for this world, all I can think is, how can I get out of your way?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because what I see is, I see people who are 60, 70, 80 years old who want to be in politics right now. I don't want them in politics. Mm-hmm. Their world is so different than the world I grew up in. It's certainly different than the world that they're growing up in, like the thoughts and the problems that they have. Do people even understand that if we just allowed for people who, if we said, you know what, you have to be 35 to 40 to be in government right now, do you understand how different shit would be right now?
Yeah.
Not just in our country, but in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we've got people who are three times our kids' ages dictating laws for them.
Yeah.
Thinking that it's the right way, thinking that it's the only way. You want to clean up the oceans? Get a 35-year-old into government. Get an entire Congress of 35-year-olds, and I will tell you, it will be really freaking easy.
Yeah. You're totally going to come back onto choices, and we are going to talk about politics there, because I think we can like go on our soapboxes for sure. But to wrap this conversation up, give your thoughts about the waiting room. As you're moving through the life, you're doing all the right things, you feel confident in your heart that you have all the tools that you need, and you just have to now be consistent and wait.
I would say it takes a couple of different things. Number one, you have to have a faith that is unparalleled. If you at any point doubt that you're meant to be a parent of a spirit baby, if you are doubting that you're meant to be a mom, I can guarantee you that is going to set you back much faster than any food that you will eat and any exercise you don't do, any wound that you don't heal. Okay. Your mental, or how I call it in my work, your mindset is going to be the thing that propels you. And it is a thing that will keep you steady in that waiting room mm-hmm. every single time. And celebrate the smallest of wins. It is what they want for you. It's what it's the thing that will, when you are just getting everything on lock and everything else, the celebration, the happiness is the thing that will raise your vibration and will get you to that place that all of the rest of that physical stuff can do for you. But even like, in my opinion, like even more, it's one of those things where, like, laughter is the best medicine. It truly is. So celebrate.
Yeah.
Celebrate all of those wins. Celebrate for everybody else. You know, like, one of the biggest things about the waiting room is that you're never the only one in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's other people who are waiting in there too. So when you see them, you know, having their wins, celebrate with them. Feel it like it's you, that it's your win too. And it becomes a much different experience than having to be alone waiting feeling like you're crying all the time, you know? So the waiting room is all about having a faith that's deeper than anything else and celebrating everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's that joy, right? The joy in the wait, which I know sounds super shitty when you're in the waiting room, but once you can encompass that, even just like 60-70%, right? It gets easier and easier and easier. Abigail, once again, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. All of your links to access your Instagram and your website are down below. Obviously, as we said before, when you come into a one-to-one coaching package with me, a reading from Abigail is in that, which I'm so glad I paid $6,000 for that. It has really, really just transformed. You know, what I say to my clients is that she's not going to there's some things that you tell us that we don't know, but the things that you tell them, they're like, how the fuck did she know? And then, okay, I'll listen to Monica now. You know, like, I feel like it validates what I'm saying, because they're just like, how does she know that? I'm like, yeah, gifted. So until next time.
If that is literally all that I can do is to get your clients to just like dial down and double down on you, that I have done my work.
Right. But thank you so much, Abigail. It's always a pleasure. And until next time. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Finding Fertility podcast. If you're loving this podcast, please leave us a rating and review and let us know how this podcast is supporting you to get steps closer to creating your dream family. I hope you have a beautiful weekend, and we will see you next Friday for another episode of the Finding Fertility podcast.